The basement of the Sitka Sound Science Center is packed to the gills with fish. A pair of huge tanks with several hundred young coho salmon, known as smolt, sit in the middle of the room. Lining the walls are another 25 tanks or so, where the coho were exposed to various amounts of crude oil.
What we do is we take samples, and then we go back to the lab, and we work on that for months and months. So we've taken tissue samples from liver and from kidney and from the spleen and gill. We're also taking blood samples, and we're analyzing all of those things to see what sorts of changes can we see to their immune system. That's kind of a big deal.
Dr. Dana Wenzel is a chemist who works at the Moat Marine Laboratory in Sarasota, Florida. She designed this experiment, hoping to learn what happens to the fish that don't die right away in an oil spill. Since the Exxon Valdez spill in 1989, there have been huge advancements in our understanding of genetics. Scientists may have wondered what the impact of the 11 million gallons of crude had been on the health of animals that survived the spill itself, but they didn't have the tools to find the answers.
New technologies created all the time, fortunately, and things that we couldn't do before or we couldn't do with very good resolution, we can now. So expertise improves, instrumentation improves, new approaches are determined, and things like looking at fish immune system, you know, that's not something that necessarily was highly sought after perhaps during the Exxon Valdez spill. But now we can do these things, and now we're hoping to be able to make some sense of predictions during a spill event and what that might mean for managers and resource directors and commercial fishing and recreational fishing and subsistence.
So Wenzel has mixed up a cocktail of oil and the substance we apply to clean it up, called a dispersant, pumped it into the small tanks around the room, and added a few fish. Now she'll wait to see what happens. She'll crunch the data she's already collected and return to Sitka in 4 months to gather more. The oil, by the way, is the real thing.
What kind of oil were you putting in the tanks?
North Slope crude oil.
Really?
Yes.
You just, like, called up Conoco and asked for a barrel?
Not quite a barrel, but we had some resources that we were able to get some oil from. Yeah.
And what about the dispersant? What is that? What's commonly used nowadays?
Commonly nowadays is Corex at 9500. That's what was used on the Deepwater Horizon spill.
Deepwater Horizon sent nearly 5 million barrels of oil into the Gulf of Mexico in 2010. Dr. John Reynolds was there.
A year or so later, the dolphins up in Barataria Bay, which was the main focal point of the spill coming on shore, those animals looked horrible. They had skin lesions, they were skinny, there weren't a lot of calves, and so some of those, they were still swimming around, so they hadn't been killed, it wasn't lethal, but clearly those animals had been debilitated in some ways.
Reynolds is the biologist on this team. He's trying to understand the sublethal impact of oil and dispersants. There's a spectrum of problems a spill can create for organisms, none of which kill right away.
A lot of times after an oil spill, we count how many animals are out there alive, and we assume that if they're alive, they're all healthy and reproducing and just doing grand. And we count how many wash up on a shore, whether it's fish or marine mammals or birds. But the fact of the matter is that if reproduction is impaired for years, that's going to affect sustainability of stocks. If their immune function is impaired, then the next bacterial infection or next major stressor might do in a lot of fish or marine mammals or whatever. So it's important, I think, if you're going to model the long-term sustainability of stocks that have been impacted by a spill or any stressor for that matter, it's important not just to know mortality, but to understand how it's affecting the reproduction and the immune competence of those species.
Both Reynolds and Wenzel hope their work can be applied in the field to help crisis managers respond to not just what is happening, but what may happen. Scientists have long suspected there's more damage happening in spills than meets the eye. This study, though small, could be critical in understanding what's actually at risk in a spill.
Depending on the outcome of this, what you may see as a more conservative approach to oil and gas development and a more aggressive approach to cleanup, because if we find that there are some of these sublethal effects that can jeopardize sustainability, the goal is to minimize the likelihood of that.
Reporting from the basement of the Sitka Sound Science Center, I'm Robert Woolsey.